We invite you to turn your Bibles with me now to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. In the last couple of chapters of this book, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And let us begin our reading this morning with verse 1, and we'll read through verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Hear now the word of God. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even eight, for you do not know what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth, and a tree falls to the south or to the north. In the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the mornings you sow your seed, in the evening withhold not your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. I ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for not only giving us a new life of faith, but also telling us through your Word how to live it out. And we pray, God, that indeed we would seize upon what your Word is revealing to us, that it would transform us and that you would enable us by your Spirit to do what is commanded here. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The following story is adapted from a very old story by a German philosopher by the name of Soren Kierkegaard. He tells a story about a congregation of ducks. That's right, ducks. Now, every Sunday morning, there'd be 300-400 ducks fill this sanctuary and listen to a stirring sermon preached by Pastor Mallard Duck. Now, every sermon progressed by a predictable pattern. He would begin by talking about, you know, you are ducks. Ducks have wings. Ducks are God's creatures created to fly. And here you are, you're waddling through life, grubbing for worms on the ground. But you're designed to fly, to swoop down, to catch delicious fish out of a lake. You're living, ducks, you're living below your potential. You got to stop waddling around here. It's time for you to mount up with wings like eagles and fly. Now, this was really stirring these ducks. I mean, Pastor Mallard was bringing it, whatever it is. And they were really responding. They would quack out full-throated amens. You go, Brother Mallard. Bring it, Brother Mallard. Obviously, the fact they were talking out like this means it wasn't a Presbyterian church. But in any event, the waters of their hearts were stirred, the firewood of their emotions kindled. The pastor had a way of captivating the attention of all the drakes and ducks and hens out there. Then after the congregation finished the service, they concluded with a rousing quacking of the doxology. This congregation of ducks then proceeded to waddle out of the doors of the church, to waddle home, to waddle through the week, and to waddle back into church the next Sunday to hear yet another stirring sermon about how ducks need to be flying. So what's the problem? If you were to analyze the problem in that church, what would it be? Would it be that they were too lazy to fly? Or they were so used to not flying that flying represents change to them? And as we all know, the only person who really enjoys change most of the time is a baby with a wet diaper. So they'd rather waddle. They're familiar with that. Or perhaps it could be that Brother Doug told them to fly, but he didn't tell them how. Friends, the problem with the ducks just might be our problem this morning. You know, the Bible tells believers that we have been designed, according to Isaiah 40:31, to hope in the Lord, to renew our strength, to mount up with wings like eagles. And the Christian life is designed to be a life of shared adventure. We're pilgrims on a shared journey. We're soldiers marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And what a tragedy it is to pass from this life to the next, simply sighing and sitting in a rocking chair. Well, the last two chapters of Ecclesiastes 11 and 12 explain to us what it means to actually live out a life of faith. And as I read verses 1 through 8, I was reminded of the words of the great theologian George Strait, who said some 14 years ago, there's a difference between living and living well. See, the message from God's Word this morning is simply this: because our Lord wants us to live a life full of faith, we need to fly with the wings God gives us by His grace and for His glory. There are, in these passages, we'll draw out four proactive words. Four words designed to encourage, to motivate us to sail across the ocean of life with our sails filled with the wind of the Holy Spirit, to soar instead of stumbling through life. Friends, if you'll do what these four words from this passage says, you will move from living to living well. And there's no one in here that doesn't want to move from living to living well. The first proactive word that puts wind into our sails and wind under our wings is this. The word is release. Release. Notice what it says here in verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. This word is an imperative. It is a command. Friends, what he's saying is this. Release what you have. Release your bread on the surface of the waters. Push what you have away from you. Live this way. Do not live this way. That's what the command is. And friends, if we'd be honest with the Lord this morning, we'd all have to plead guilty to the charge of listening and dancing to the music of our falling culture. You know, the soundtrack, we hear it, consuming, taking, receiving, keeping, protecting, don't risk, play it safe. Friends, consuming is not how you are designed by God to live. God did not put you on this planet just to consume resources, to eat, to breathe, to take up space, to sit around, and to wait for heaven. God put you on this earth to contribute. God designed you to share and to serve and to be sent and to be spent in doing something, to be on a mission to the glory of God. God is not calling on you to save your life. There's no command in the Bible to save your life. God calls you to spend your life, to spend it in service to God and to other people. There's an analogy I came across some 33 years ago in a book entitled The Glorious Body of Christ by R.B. Kuyper. And there's a word picture this man uses that remains super glued in my mind. And here's the picture. It's a comparison between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Kuyper says the Sea of Galilee, if you visit it, is full of life because the sea takes in water, but it also gives out water. There is inflow, and then there is outflow. On the other hand, nothing lives in the Dead Sea because all the Dead Sea does is take in water. With the Dead Sea, there's no outflow. And that's why the Dead Sea is dead. All inflow with no outgo does a Dead Sea make. Now, we need to ask ourselves this morning. You need to ask yourself individually, would I consider myself honestly to be a Sea of Galilee Christian or a Dead Sea Christian? And the answer to the question is very simple. And that's this. Where is your outflow? If you're feeling stagnant in your life right now, maybe it's because nothing's flowing out. You know, too often in the church, we're more interested in serve us instead of service. We're asking who's going to meet my needs instead of whose needs can I meet? We complain. We say, I get nothing out of church. I ask you, what are you putting in to church? See, there's consumption, but no release. Friends, a Christian who does not release himself, release herself to ministry and mission is a walking contradiction, an oxymoron. You know, like black light, jumbo shrimp, cheerful pessimist, and pretty ugly. Remember this. If Jesus had not left heaven, if Jesus had not come to this earth, if he had not moved into our neighborhood, if Jesus had not said on the cross, Father, into thy hands I release my spirit. If Christ hadn't done all that, we would have no salvation, no relationship with God, no hope whatsoever. Keep in mind, Jesus could have stayed protected in the perfect environment of heaven. But Jesus chose to release himself, to set aside his divine privileges, his heavenly perks. Jesus came to this earth on a mission to seek and to save that which was lost. And friends, the very minimum response from us who have received God's grace, those of us who are drinking from the fire hydrant of God's grace, is to pour our lives into ministry and mission. I ask you, what's your mission? Could you even sit down this morning and write out a life mission statement? Friends, releasing is God's way. If you want to fly, if you want to go this way, releasing is the difference between living and living well. Notice the second proactive word we're hearing now that puts wind into our sails, puts wind under our wings. The second proactive word is this: invest. Invest. Look at verse 2. Give a portion to seven or even to eight. This comes from the old days of shipping, where if you had 7,000 pounds of grain, you would put 1,000 pounds on seven ships. The idea there is to give, but don't put all your eggs into one basket. Again, we look around us. What do we see? We see people who build their lives around one thing. I think while watching the Olympics in the last couple of weeks, athletes often build their lives around a sport. And then almost inevitably, the unwanted visitor of injury comes calling. No matter how fast you run, age eventually overtakes you. It catches up with you. It tackles you. And for people who put all the eggs of their life in the basket of their athleticism, when the eggs crack, they lose everything. Same thing with looks, money, being popular, being successful. You invest, but you invest widely, and you invest generously. Your time, your abilities, your money, and the lives of as many people as you can. I love the way the Old Testament scholar Walter Kaiser puts it. He translates this verse, be generous to as many people as you can, and then some. And then look at verse 2, the second part. For you know not what disaster may happen on this earth. Again, Kaiser puts it this way. I love the way he puts it. He says, and do not become miserly because you fear some calamity in the future. Friends, we have no idea of what calamity is coming around the corner. And sometimes, no matter how hard we try, there is no guarantee of 100% safety in this life. A stock market crash, a massive recession could wipe out every bit of your money. A fire, or as we have seen this week, a flood can destroy your house. I saw a video yesterday of John Snyder, used to be with Dukes of Hazzard. His house was wiped out in Louisiana. He said something very interesting. He says, you know what? Water doesn't notice if you're a celebrity or not. It's indiscriminate. Friends, a terrorist with a biochemical weapon could wipe out a whole city of people. An EMP attack could fry all the electrical grids across this nation. send this nation back to the dark ages. Months and months and months, maybe a year to get over that. We don't know. We don't know what danger is crouching around the next corner, waiting to pounce on us. But there's no need for fear of the future to be a rope binding your hands together. Because we don't know what the future holds. We do know who holds the future. Jesus says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. So what do? Invest. And leave the results to God. God wants to invest everything we have into the souls of people. You know, people around us are embodied souls. What should we do? I think best advice comes from the old singer Keith Green. Some of you ex-Jesus freaks may remember him. He says, we just keep doing our best and pray that it's blessed and Jesus takes care of the rest. When we invest, we fly, we live well. Third proactive word is this. The word is pursue. That is the word that puts wind in our sails. It is the word that puts wind under our wings. Look at verses 3 and 4. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. This is a poetic description of something we call the paralysis of analysis. It's looking and watching and waiting and looking and watching and waiting and doing nothing. The rain's going to fall. The wind's going to blow. There is nothing you can do to change the inevitabilities of life. You can't change the weather. You can't change the final scores of ball games. You can't change how people responded to you in the past. You can't change the passing of time. You can't change the process of aging. That is all part of the inevitabilities of life. So the question is, are those things going to paralyze you, or are you going to pursue the passions of your heart? Speaking of aging, J. Oswald Sanders, in his book, My Utmost for the Highest, he speaks in an interview of four major poets, four, who lived to be over 80 years old. And these poets did more work in the last decade of their lives than they did between the ages of 20 and 30. William Gladstone took up a new language when he was 70. And at age 83, Gladstone became the Prime Minister of Great Britain for the fourth time. John Wesley preached every day, get this, 365, every day somewhere until he was 87 years old. Instead of being passive, instead of sitting around and fretting over what they could not change, Gladstone and Wesley pursued their God-given passions. Friends, you need to know God uses people who relentlessly pursue their passions regardless of their age. Some things you can't change. You know, you can be a change agent in someone's life, but you can't change people unless your name happens to be the Holy Spirit. But you can do this. You can pursue the grace-fueled, gospel-fired passions that God has put into your heart. Just don't be passive. And please, don't do whatever you do just for the money. Profit motive is a great thing. But when it comes to ministry, you don't do it just for the money. A war correspondent watched a humble, compassionate nun as she swabbed blood and dirt out of a soldier's leg. Gangrene had already set in. The reporter was so repulsed by the sight of that ugly wound that he almost gagged, and he turned away and he mumbled under his breath, "I wouldn't do that for $1 million. The nun looked up at the man and said, "Neither would I, sir. Neither would I." God says, release your bread upon the waters. Invest your life in the lives of others, in the souls of others. Pursue the passions God has placed in your heart. And by the way, as you act on what you believe, don't keep track. Don't be looking in your mailbox for letters of thanks. Don't expect to see your name in lights. And don't live your life locked in on the Weather Channel. By God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit provides, you just keep doing your best and pray that it's blessed, and He'll take care of the rest. Difference between flying and floundering, between living and living well, has to do with releasing, investing, and pursuing. There is one other proactive word that should be for us this morning. Wind underneath our wings. Wind in our sails, propelling us across life's ocean is this. Fourth word is this. Trust. Trust. Look at verse 5. As you do not know the way of the Spirit, as it comes in the bones of the wombs of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. You know, some things you just can't really explain. I love it when Jesus says the wind blows where it will. You know, you can trace the path. You can't figure it out. You see a sonogram in an unborn child, it's a wonderful thing to see, but you cannot, looking at that sonogram, fathom the miracle of life that's in a mother's womb. We're reminded here of Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where God says, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Even if your name is Shaquille O'Neal, the shelf where you find the cookies of God's ways and thoughts is always out of your reach. So we can't figure it out. You really can't. So what do you do? Look at verse 6. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Sid, he's saying, keep sowing the seeds of God's word. Keep rolling up your sleeves and working. You don't know, but God does. And we trust God to do His will according to His timetable. Turn with me as we seek to draw this together to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. And as you're turning to this very important section of God's Word, Isaiah 55, I want to tell you a true story about a Marine, a dedicated Christian soldier shipped off to Okinawa. Here's his journal entry, and I quote, "The lifestyle on this island by the soldiers is somewhere between morally loose and total debauchery. I'm a married man. I'm a married Christian man. I want to make an impact on the lives of other soldiers, and I'm so scared I've got knots in my stomach." That's how this man is feeling. But in trust, well, just listen. This soldier had a bunkmate by the name of Matthew. He went by Matt. And the first time this Christian soldier tried to talk to Matt about Christ, Matt's response, "Get out of my face. I don't want all that blank shoved down my throat." Okay, you got that? This Marine wanted to honor Matt's request. Same time, the passion of his heart was to meet Matt with the gospel. So, this Christian soldier was involved in something called, you may have heard of before, the Navigator's Bible Memory Program. So one day he approached Matt and he says, Matt, would you help me out with something? Matt, I'm memorizing these Bible verses. I just wondered if you'd help me to review these verses every week. Matt looked and he said, okay. But you better not lay some kind of guilt trip on me. You know, I don't believe that. And he used another profanity. So this non-Christian, very anti-Christian Matt reviewed these Bible verses with this Christian Marine week after week, month after month. You know, Matt would listen. Matt would correct the Marine. Matt would even encourage the Marine to accomplish his goals of Bible memory. But it was painfully obvious. Painfully obvious after many, many months. You know, Matt, he's just not interested. He's just not interested. Fast forward to 20 years later. This Christian Marine gets a phone call. Hey, man, this is Matt, your old buddy from Okinawa. Remember me? Well, how could he forget Matt? He said, well, sure, Matt. How are you doing? Well, you know what? I've been saved. My wife has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you remember when you used to lay all those verses on me? Well, yeah. He said, you know what? It worked. Now look at Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing I sent it. Friends, the word of God's grace in Christ Jesus, it goes out. We sow, we work, and we trust God. Listen, who knows? You know, if there's someone you're working with, who knows 20 years from now what'll happen in that person's life? Who knows? Let me tell you this. If you claim to be a Christian this morning, if you claim to be a Christian, do you realize that one of the reasons you're a Christian right now is because someone, somewhere, could be a preacher, RUF director, whatever, Sunday school teacher, someone, somewhere, sowed the seed of God's word in your life. And that seed took root by God's grace. And that's why you're a Christian. Now, we're not a congregation of ducks, obviously. We're a congregation of people. But if we were a congregation of ducks divinely designed to fly, would it not be a tragedy for us to waddle out of this place, waddle through this week, waddle back here next week? Friends, there's a difference between living and living well. And the difference can be summed up in four words. Release, invest, pursue, trust. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we confess we do a lot of floundering and not much flying. We do a lot of waddling through life and not much waiting and trusting. Lord, by your grace and in the power the Holy Spirit provides, Lord, would you help us to release what we have, to release it into mission and ministry to others. Lord, would you help us to invest widely and wisely. Life is uncertain, but regardless of life's uncertainties, we are to invest in the lives of others, in the souls of our children, our spouse, people in our path. Lord, you've put them there. We pray we'll invest. Lord, we would ask you to help us to pursue those grace-fueled, gospel-fired passions you have placed in our hearts. Lord, we pray that there would be no cold water poured on the fires of our passions. And Lord, we trust this morning. We trust that as we sow the seed, as we roll up our sleeves and do the work, that your will be done in your own time, in your own way. Lord, we pray that by your grace and the power of your Spirit, that we would fly on wings of faith. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.